Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is me, Sharifa Hardy, one of your favorite people I know. And if you haven't added me to your favorite people list, I went ahead and added myself because I just know it's just something that I do. I brought to you an interesting show today, and I am sure you're going to love it. And because I'm so sure, before I even get started, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and share this show. I guarantee you, this show you will want to share, because if not, you're going to come back and your friends are going to say, "Why didn't you tell me they were on the show?" I'm telling you now, share it, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So I want to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Mr. Erwin Strohmeyer. Erwin is going to talk to us a little bit about his theories, his beliefs, and what's going on in the world. Good morning, Erwin. How are you?
Good morning, my dear. How are you doing today?
I feel like I was feeling good, but then I tuned into your background, and now all of a sudden I'm like, is that a disease? Like, is that what is that?
What you're seeing, the blue strand is a DNA strand. The greenish cell that you see there is actually a COVID cell, or basically a coronavirus cell. And I used this background simply because my office is a mess at the moment, and I don't want anybody to see it.
Now, one of the things that I enjoy about hosting this show is that just going through the bios. And in your bio, you put it out there. You specifically said like 99% of the world is not going to agree with me. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I know what I know. So you have an interesting view on COVID-19, and I would love for you to share it.
Well, let me start first by saying exactly what it is I do and why I have that view.
Okay.
In an industry relatively new, I've been doing it for about 7.5 years. It's called public infection control. And most people think, oh, you own a cleaning company. And no, it's not a cleaning company. We actually go after the germs. We come into facilities, we do lots of child care centers where we decontaminate everything down to its virgin surface. Terminally disinfect everything to kill every last germ in the place, if at all possible, and then use a specialized antimicrobial coating on all surfaces that basically refuses to provide newly deposited microbes a friendly surface where they can survive, thrive, and colonize your surfaces. So we drastically reduce the ability for invasive microbes to survive in your place and then to thrive and colonize, meaning spread themselves all over your surfaces. Now, as far as COVID-19 is concerned, and I've learned something in the last day or two, that COVID-19 is now referred to as the name of the disease we get from SARS-CoV-2 infection. Okay. And I think it's obvious that it's a global health issue at this point. I mean, over the last 3, 4 months, this thing has just gotten huge. And I think that as Americans, we have a responsibility to each other to really try and curtail the spread of this infection. And it doesn't help that it's become a highly charged political issue. And it just blows me away that people are like, oh, it's not that bad, not that many people are dying. You know what? Tell me that after, God forbid, it takes one of your family members. Then you'll have a truly a different view of this whole thing. I get asked a lot if the services that I provide are effective against the viral infection, and I keep having to try and remind people that a virus in and of itself is a living organism, but it can't do much by itself. It must take a host cell. It must invade another cell and hijack the operations within that cell to make copies of itself and to be able to spread. Otherwise, a virus is actually very, very fragile and very easy to kill, or at least most of them are. So, what I try to tell people is, look, our services are effective against the microbes that the infection of the virus will invade. And if you kill the host cells, then you severely limit the virus's ability to colonize and infect other people.
So let me ask you this. Do you feel, and this is just a feeling, I mean, you might or might not, but do you feel that many people aren't taking this virus serious?
Unfortunately, from a political point of view, yes. I think there are a lot of people, you know, I've met a lot of people through Facebook and other endeavors of mine, and I've talked to a number of them during this unfortunate incident, and some are like, oh, you know, it's so overblown. I'm like, guys, this is not a game. This is a global health crisis. And I just don't understand it. I mean, I watch the news and I hear about these teenagers having COVID-19 parties to see who's going to catch it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Is America's youth that stupid or just that uninformed? And I think we're having this huge problem with this simply because of the politics that is driving the effort to downplay it.
Erwin, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Yeah, have you been infected yet?
Fortunately, no.
Okay, good. All right, that's good to hear.
And I play with germs all day long because that's my job.
But why I asked too, because I thought, you know, you probably have a greater chance of actually catching the virus being the fact that you're actually in the industry.
Well, that's true, but actually what I'm told are my three most fantastic attributes to catch it is the fact that I'm 59, type 2 diabetic, and recently had open heart surgery.
Okay, so you are all of the things. You should be living in some sort of a bubble in the middle of the ocean at this point, because...
Well, yeah. Is fortunately, I do know how to protect myself. I do go out in public. I mean, not like when I'm walking a dog around the neighborhood, but like if I go to the store or anything, you know, I keep a box of masks in my car, in my truck. I usually have three or four in my pocket. And I also firmly believe, because of what I do, in using gloves if you leave the house.
Okay. But you can't use gloves like all the time, right? Because the gloves themselves get contaminated and you have to dispose of the gloves right away. You can't just keep wearing the same pair of gloves.
That's absolutely true. But the way you can extend the daily life of a glove is with a little hand sanitizer. So if you've walked into a building, you grab the front door, you open the door, you went over, you press the up button for the elevator, you got inside, you press the button for the floor, you came out, you went to the office that you were going to, you open the door handle, you touch the counter. If you keep hand sanitizer on you, you can actually use that to keep the gloves as biologically clean as you can with that. Okay. And then usually once I go back to the car, that pair of gloves comes off from visiting that location. And when I get back out of the car, a new set of gloves go on.
Wow. Now, Erwin, I saw an article the other day that at least 30 types or brands of hand sanitizer has been deemed not safe to use. Did you see anything like that?
Actually, the issue regarding that back in, I want to say it was 2015, when the FDA outlawed triclosan-based antimicrobial soaps, hand lotions, and hand sanitizers, because they had determined that they had no beneficial effect and could potentially cause other skin issues, because those things are all over your skin. I did not see the one that was published the other day that you're talking about. Fortunately, but unfortunately, I've been, you know, busier than a one-armed paper hanger. So it seems that once somebody said the word pandemic in the beginning of March, my phone just has not stopped blowing up.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being here. I have more questions for you, but I want to go ahead and introduce all of our guests. And since one of our guests just loves to introduce himself, I'm going to go ahead and introduce him next. He is a wonderful guy. If you've seen the first episode of my third talk show, Face to Face, you will see Jared on there talking about his ventures as well as what he's doing in the community. So I'm going to introduce Jared Johnson of Sue the Collector.
Good morning. Good morning.
I didn't even get Sue the Collector out.
I know. I'm sorry. Yes, Sue the Collector. I apologize, Sharifa. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Something wrong with you, Jared. There's something wrong with you. Tell us about Sue the Collector, please.
Sue the Collector is actually going to be a law firm at the end of this month. We're actually organizing that part of it. because we've been giving all of our money away for too long. So we're going to stop that. So we are a consumer law firm that actually helps people just like you, just like me, and just like Angela and Erwin and Boluwatifi.
Boluwatifi, yes.
I got it almost. I just almost nailed it. And so yeah, everybody here, we're all consumers, right? We all buy stuff. And believe it or not, as consumers in America, we all have consumer rights. And a lot of people don't know what those consumer rights are because ain't nobody told us about them. It's my job to tell you about them. And so if you ever get in a position where a debt collector is trying to get money from you for any reason for a consumer debt, student loans, mortgages, you know, let's say you move out of an apartment and the old apartment's trying to collect the old past due rent or any fees or move out fees, that's all consumer debt. You like defaulted on like a Best Buy credit card or you owe money, you know, to, I don't know. There's all sorts of ways to consider it a consumer debt. If a debt collector tries to collect a consumer debt and there's like a billion ways for them to violate the law, if they do it, they end up owing you $1,000. Did you know that?
I did not. I thought it was like some percentage, like twice as much or, you know, so they, it's $1,000 flat.
It's $1,000 up to $1,000. And in California, you guys have special super rights. You have special powers because the California state legislature made their own consumer rights law on top of the federal rights. And so there's like two laws that Californians actually have. So Californians can get a little more money out of them. But either way, it applies, it works the same way. So maybe that's what you've heard. But mm-hmm. either way, you can get up to $1,000. You won't owe the debt anymore. Mm-hmm. And all the information is wiped off your credit report forever. And mm-hmm. we catch them all the time doing this stuff. Like, for instance, my buddy just moved out of his apartment. And the apartment tried to collect like three or four fees that were never actually written in the original agreement. And mm-hmm. so the debt collection company was like, oh, you owe all this. Well, because it wasn't originally in the agreement, they are actually trying to collect a debt that is uncollectible. It's illegal. And so they just filed that and it'll actually get settled within like a couple weeks. And then that mm-hmm. will, they'll pay that guy $1,000. They'll pay the attorney their fees and then it'll just be removed from the guy's credit and he won't owe, I think they're trying to get like $4,000 out of him. He won't owe any of it. And so it's pretty great. This is my superpower.
I like it. You are very interesting. Now, the last time we spoke, you had a whole community outreach that you were working with first responders. You were on the news every other day, I think it was.
We're still going. And right now the COVID stuff's really dominated the news. So that's slowed down a little bit, but my guys told me that we're going to pick that back up here in about 2 weeks and be on the news again. Cause there's right now we're in the middle of an eviction wave that's about mm-hmm. to crash down on America. And so my job is to kind of read these stories and articles and then get out there and try and help people because the eviction wave is coming. And so the extra $600 or $800, I don't know how much it really is, of unemployment is ending. It's really ending July 30th. It doesn't look like it's getting renewed. And in fact, most people aren't even gonna get any extra money on July 30th. It's gonna be like the week before that and then it'll be over with because it'll be in the middle of a 2 week process. So most people are gonna be out of money by like July 23rd is what I read. And so by then, if you haven't paid your rent, you know, or you're already behind, a lot of the eviction, you know, moratoriums are ending across the United States. Some states will continue them.
California just expanded it. They just expanded it as of yesterday. So that's definitely interesting. And Jared, of course, I have more questions for you, but I have to introduce all of our guests because I can talk. I don't know if you guys kind of figured that out, but it's going to get interesting. We're having a wonderful conversation. So like I said, go ahead and share the show and make sure that your friends are a part of the conversation. Yep. I want to introduce our next guest, Tracy. Tracy, I think Tracy and I talk every day. She tells me about her world, what's going on, all her people. And she has so many amazing people that I'm falling in love with all of them. and she's going to talk to us about Lemuri Public Relations. Good morning, Tracy. How are you? On mute, Tracy.
Tracy, you're on mute. Mute. Unmute yourself.
You're muted.
Sorry, you know, I muted me. So, yeah, I was thrilled to find you, Sharifa, and your forum and what you do. And I've watched, you know, a whole bunch of the platforms, and it's just a really great conversation and the way you allow people to speak to the world. And that's why I wanted to send so many of my clients to you. And I'm really thrilled to be on today. I didn't realize Dr. Angela was going to be on this episode, and I'm here with Bolu. So I'm really proud to be here talking about what I do with two of my amazing clients. So thank you so much for providing this forum for all of us.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us. Now, one of the reasons I was interested in having you as a guest on the show is I love discussing PR. I love discussing what's going on in the world. I would love to hear your thoughts on what Erwin had to say and what Jared had to say, because even though they are in completely two different industries, they both have the same problem, the problem being COVID-19 and how the world is responding to it. And in PR, that's one of the things we're able to do is get the message out about, you know, these type of struggles and stories. What are your thoughts about what we said so far this morning?
Yeah, in terms of the COVID and the PR too, in both of them, you're talking in the last guest about messaging and getting it out to the media, and they had done some really good media work, but then with everything being COVID, it was sort of interrupted. So yeah, I have clients across the board, you know, probably 25 clients literally across industry. And for some of them, COVID and also BLM, whoops, my live videos are done. COVID and the BLM, you know, the conversation that's really overtaken the media, for good. I'm a supporter. I'm an ally of BLM. But I mean, it's been hard to get anything else into the media that weren't first. COVID was literally for 6 weeks. And now BLM from a different angle, because we want to have more voice, you know, we're working hard in media and PR and everything to have more voices of color speaking, so that, you know, it makes it hard for other clients with other messages to get their normal messaging out to media. But in terms of PR, and you know, too, it's all about, you know, there's the newsroom, you have to deal with what's going on in the world, and you have to deal with your messaging, and you have to deal with, you know, who the audience is. So sometimes it's a struggle for various reasons, but it's all about, you know, getting it, showing ways that what you're doing is relevant to the greater conversation.
No, that makes perfect sense. But when you look at Erwin, right, he has a strong message. His company is here. His phone's been ringing off the hook. But you still have people who may not be taking it that serious. They don't wear gloves. They, you know, don't wear their mask. You know, these are all hot issues. And then you have people like Jared, who's like literally waving, screaming, like, look, this wave is coming. You know, he's the little crier with his horn, like, people wake up. This wave is coming, and there are things that you can do. But we often need, that's why, you know, clients come to people such as yourself. We need people who can help us get that message out. Like, are you familiar with the rent moratoriums? I'm messing up.
Yeah, well, I've been watching it just as a news story, you know, Canada and stateside, in terms of you know, this is an issue here too. There was a lot of talk about people not being able to pay their rent and what's going to happen. And there was, you know, rent, what was it called? You know, where people were, they were advising people not to pay their rent if they couldn't. But then other people were in advocacy saying, well, this is going to come down. There's going to be a time when there's going to be a reckoning. So now we're looking at that reckoning where I'm glad to hear that there's attorneys and people like Jared looking at the bigger picture, because yeah, it's hard to even imagine, forget depression, what we might be moving into with homelessness and people struggling, you know, on both sides of the border, particularly stateside, with how COVID-19 has, the numbers are just, you know, terrifying stateside. So who knows how, you know, how things are going to work in terms of opening up and that kind of thing.
Yes. Okay. But one of the things that you have been helping a lot of different people, and PR is a service. People may not see it as a service, but you've been able to help get the message out from different clients. So I want to talk to a couple of your clients you're working with and get their views on what's going on in the world. And I want to introduce Bolu. She's going to give us her full name. I apologize. I'm horrible with names, but you have been changing the world, and you're 13 years old. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, you did. I'm 13. Just turned 13.
Give us your full name, Bolu.
Okay, my full name is Bolu Watifa.
Where are you located?
I'm in Canada. I live in Canada.
Okay.
In Ottawa.
Oshawa.
Oh, Ottawa or Oshawa?
Oshawa.
Oshawa.
Where is Oshawa at? What province?
It's in Ontario.
It is Ontario. Okay, very good.
Yes.
Near Toronto.
Yes. Well, thank you for joining us. Have you been on a talk show before?
No, I haven't. This is my first time.
Well, what made you decide to join us today?
Well, Tracy told me a little bit about it, and it sounded really interesting, and I was just excited to get to know more people and talk about myself. So yeah, that's really the main reason.
I love your smile. Your smile is contagious.
Thank you.
She's got some great media, though. She was interviewed by two of the major news stations in Toronto and two of the major radio stations. So she hasn't done a talk show, like a round table. This is all new, but she's been getting some crazy media in the last month.
Crazy media. I love the sound of crazy media. Why are you getting crazy media, Bolu? What have you been up to?
Well, I write music, I write songs, but one of the songs I wrote recently was in recognition of Black Lives Matter. And it's a song called Make It Right, and how we've been going through so much stuff, and not just as a community, not just the Black people, but the Aboriginals and everyone, the homeless people, everyone that's been struggling, really. And just, it was just a song saying that it's time to make it right. It's time to put away our differences, put aside everything that just like, because we're all people, and it's just time for us to just love each other and help each other and bring each other up. So I wrote a song recently, and a bunch of people loved it. Yeah, that's basically why.
So I want to hear about this song, but I always like to get to the story behind the business, or the story behind the song, or like what got you here. I know you said you were a songwriter, but what made you decide to start writing songs?
Well, I've been writing songs for a long time. Like when I was little, I just sang about anything.
When I was little, like what's little, like seven?
I'm not older now, but like when I was eight, when I was younger, I sang about everything and anything. But what got me to sing about, because I've always liked to try to inspire people throughout anything that I do. So when I wrote my song, I just wanted to inspire people and let people know, because some people were unaware of what's going on, because maybe because they don't have social media or anything like that. But it's just through my song, I know a lot of people listen to music, and I was just hoping to share a good message, a positive message, and just, yeah.
I always like to learn the inspiration, because, you know, maybe that helped you with whatever's going on in your life. Maybe you were inspired. Maybe you just want to sing about the world and what's going on. Just like now what's going on, you wrote a song about it. Are we going to have the opportunity to hear your song?
I didn't bring it, but I can share it maybe later.
Do we get to hear a few? You can't just tease us like that, but we got to get some of the message. How do we know what the message is? So we can support you.
But I could do it without if you want.
Say that again.
The song itself is played with my guitar, but I could do it solo if you want.
Yes, not the whole song. I don't know how long the song is, but you know, hit us with a couple of bars.
I'll just play, sing the chorus. Okay, so the chorus is wrong song. Okay, so I'll just say the first verse. So it's 2020. What have you become? I'm just wondering what's going on. Why are people so cruel? What was done to you? People preaching truths are getting ignored. Don't even know what to do anymore. Have they not realized that it's time to make it right? What am I seeing from my eyes? When will they just apologize? Had enough of all this crying. Now it's time to make it right. That's a little bit of my song.
Yay. Yay. That is amazing. What you think, Erwin?
It was very nice.
You said very nice.
All I know is I can't sing. So
that's got you don't have a song for us, Erwin? I want you to sing us a song.
Who?
You.
Oh, absolutely not.
That's we better not have to sing.
Tracy, your turn.
Oh no.
No, Bolu, that is so wonderful. I have so many more questions for you. I'm just trying to get all of the guests on today's show. Mm-hmm. Yes, I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And our next guest is Dr. Angela Sadler. And we're going to talk about her book, but she's also the cousin of Rosa Parks and her book, Life with Rosa. Good morning, Dr. Angela. How are you?
Great. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful. So, do you have a picture of your book?
Oh, I do. I don't know. Can you see it?
Yes, My Life with Rosie. Yeah. A Bond Between cousins.
Yes.
Well, okay. So I have a million questions. Okay. I don't.
Well, we'll be here all night.
I know. To warn them. Let me just see.
Me your top three.
Question number one.
But you know what?
I have 999,999 to go.
Oh, yeah. We'll be here all day. That's okay.
I'm just blown away. First of all, my first question is, what made you decide to write a book? Is this your first book?
It's actually my second book.
Okay.
My first book was part of a series called Inspired Impact Women series. And in that book, it's taken from Jack Canfield's Chicken Soup for the Soul, but it's for women. Mm-hmm. And one of his mentees started her own book publishing company, Kate Butler. And I wrote the foreword in Women Who Illuminate. So mm-hmm. this is my first children's book by myself, mm-hmm. but this is, if you go to Amazon, I already have another book out there.
Okay, well, this is your first children's book by yourself, and we definitely want to applaud that and honor that. Okay, so my next question on my list is this. Why now? Why decide to come out with a book now about your life with Rosie?
Well, it is actually about my aunt's life with Rosie.
Okay.
So, basically, this has been almost over 2020. This has been a 5-year journey.
Okay.
And it started in 2015. And there's a movie poster behind me when I started actually producing a documentary about my Aunt Carolyn and mm-hmm. my cousin Rosie in 2015. And I literally just started doing that documentary because I just received my PhD and I could not get a tenured job to save my life. Mm-hmm. So at the point I started the documentary, we had a couple of things happening around us. First, I couldn't get a job. I went back to full-time work, didn't like it. And at that point, that's why I didn't have a job again. And then unfortunately, my father-in-law passed away. And so one of the things I always like to tell people ahead of time is that I married into the family of Rosa Parks in 1998. So mm-hmm. I'd been part of the family for over almost 20 years, but it was the death of my father-in-law that really started the wheels turning in the documentary. And, you know, it also helped that I really wasn't working at the time. So basically 2015, I started doing this documentary. And then 2 years later, the documentary hits the film festival circuit. It takes off. And because of it being so popular in the film festival circuit, I started just meeting a lot of people that led to me writing a foreword for the book. And then in 2019, when I actually released that book, Women Who Illuminate, at the same time, a major toy manufacturer came out with a Rosa Parks Barbie doll. And when I read the product description, I thought it was very limiting, especially because I've been spending 3 years trying to tell a different story. So I didn't know what to do because my documentary really wasn't geared towards children. So my book publisher is the one that really encouraged me to write this children's book. So a lot of people, because the children's book came out during the height of civil unrest, not only just across our country, but internationally. That's why you have Tracy here and you have Bulo here. But what happened was it just so happens that with COVID-19 and the delays in my book being released, it just so happens that it's released June 18th, the day before Juneteenth, is something that everybody's now understanding. It's not just a holiday celebrated now among African Americans. People understand it. So it's that goes back to where we're talking about with Tracy and talking about what is the news of the day. And so now people are hearing about this story, but the story has really a 5-year shelf life. It's been told for over 5 years. It's been on Amazon since 2018, but now people are understanding this is a story that not only needs to be told to adults, but in order to stop racism, we need to now start telling the story to children.
What is the part that you, what is the part of the story that you specifically want to tell that you feel hasn't been told before?
A lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about Rosa Parks. And I think that has a lot to do with how our US history is taught. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I wanted people to really understand was that she's not a person that just one day just was tired from work and decided not to give up her bus seat. That's not who she was. And that's not who she continued to be after December 1st, 1955. And so
that's
the story
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm saying that is basically the story that I was always told. She worked a lot. She was tired. I just didn't have the energy to get up.
Now, tired is a good word, but people look at it that way. What she was tired of is she was tired of the system. Mm-hmm. And so, and how I know she was tired of the system is when I go back and I read stories about how she started the NAACP Youth Council, how she was already working with the NAACP, how she, this comes right after the event of Emmett Till, where she mm-hmm. went to that funeral and looked at that open casket. And so, I know with our history books, there's only so much that can be said, but I've taken US history in college and that still is the same story. So what I really wanted to do is I wanted to create Rosa Parks as a three-dimensional character. And because I had the unique eye of coming into the family already admiring this person, but then being part of the family and hearing stories that didn't add up to what I was learning in history, I was able to use that eye to tell this story. And that's what I do in this children's book. But at the end of this children's book, it's one thing just to tell the story of Rosa Parks, but it's another thing. And that's one thing that I thought when I saw that Barbie doll, I thought, you know what? I need children to, when they go and get this Barbie doll, I need them to be active. And because Rosa Parks was always pouring into young people because she had heart for young people, I wanted the children to do something, but I didn't know what. So my book publisher said, well, why don't you give them things to do? So at the end of the book, I tell them different things. One, how do you honor differences in others? How do you actually, when you're honoring differences in others, how do you share that? And so I recruit them to be part of Cousin Rosie's youth council. And I think that's one of the things that children can do, because I set my intention when I wrote this book that children do not hate. We teach them to hate. And so if we could teach them not to hate, then we probably won't see what we saw in 1968 when we had the nationwide civil unrest. 92 here in LA, we won't see 2020. We won't see that, because now we're starting to implement some of those things that Cousin Rosie did with my Aunt Carolyn and other young cousins. And then she started her own youth organization. So it's just one way that I feel really, really blessed that I'm able to use what she did her entire life and bring this to a whole nother generation and give them the truth of who she was.
Mm. I like that. Tracy, what made you decide to work with Dr. Angela? Oh my
goodness. We've been working together since 2016, and it was an absolute honor. Obviously, I'm a social justice activist and a longtime anti-racist activist going back years. I had a radio show which focused on those kind of things. Rosa Parks obviously is an iconic hero of mine. I know Angela will say, you know, the icon is the thing we need to get away from and bring her into the reality because we can all be like her and all that, right? But honestly, I was blown away to speak to Angela, to have that personal connection. And it's honestly been one of the highlights of my personal part of my career to have sat with Angela and literally two rows of Rosa Parks family watching the launch of that movie in the Detroit Film Festival. It's truly incredible. And then, you know, she actually thanked me in the credits too, which I mean, I can't believe that I'm, you know, connected with Rosa Parks, you know, in a project that's connected with Rosa Parks. So it's a huge honor. It's, you know, not like beyond any celebrity or anything like that. It's honestly a deep honor to have any connection with that story.
I know. And to
work with Angela, who on her own is a superpower woman doing amazing things for the last 4 years. So,
oh, wow. Sure. What do you have going on, Dr. Angela?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So next week, and if you want to hear, it's Bulu or Bolo?
Bulu.
Bulu. Yeah, I'll get it. Well, next week, she'll be doing a Facebook Live and I have her singing her entire song. So she will be prepared. So if anybody wants to do that, yeah. Because I'll be doing an international book launch next Thursday. We did it nationally. Now we'll do it internationally. Some of the great things that have happened because of just doing this documentary, it was originally meant for education, but when I was done editing the documentary, the editor and the music composer and also one of the people I interviewed said, you should do this on a film festival circuit. So we did do some re-editing of the documentary, and that's what you see on Amazon today, but it was always intended for education. So one of the biggest joy that I've gotten is last week I was contacted by a state legislator in Utah who wants to change their US history, and they want a more comprehensive US history. And one of the first things they want to do is adopt the curriculum that I've written around with the video with My Life with Rosie, adopt that for all of Utah schools, which
that was amazing.
Yeah, if you know the population of Utah, this is absolutely incredible.
Congratulations. And I know a lot about Utah, so congratulations.
Yeah, yes.
That was a huge step.
Yes, and it's really, I mean, for me, it's still such a humbling experience because, you know, to be reached out from someone who said they saw the documentary and they didn't even know about the children's book and they didn't know that I had a different version of the documentary, but that, it, you know, an entire state sees how important it is to change how we teach U.S. history. And that is so important. And, you know, we talk about, you know, Rosa Parks, she's, a lot of people know more about her outside of the U.S. I mean, in fact, there is a museum, the Walls Museum in Canada, who has, you know, a chapel dedicated to her. And, you know, she has all of this respect, and it's not even equal to the amount of respect she has overseas than she has here in the U.S. So for legislators to realize that we need to change our history and we need to have a more comprehensive history on the civil rights movement and they want to focus on her, I think that is indeed an honor. Another thing that will be happening, and we talk about COVID-19, and Erwin is probably knows this too, is that a lot of things that have happened in California because of COVID-19, a lot of our production has shut down. And so one of the things that has happened is that I have a show that'll be starting on PBS LA called Everybody with Angela Williamson. And so if everything goes well, we'll be in the studio next Friday too. So
yes, it'll go well.
Yeah, all of this it's incredible, it's humbling. And what I try to tell people, it doesn't matter where you're at in life, you can always start new. Because when I started this documentary, I I did not have a job. I did not know where I was going. But because I got into the story and worked with it and hired media to help me tell that story in public relations, that, you know, 5 years later, it's a totally different outlook than I had in 2015.
Well, congratulations. I look forward to watching your journey and seeing. I have to check it out. My Life with Rosie. I'm going to check it out. We have to get the information out there. I think that's one of the most important things on a lot of different issues, and especially, you know, what's going on in the world. That's my focus. That's my passion, is telling these stories so other people.
I wanted to mention that My Life with Rosie is featured. It's one of the top, I don't remember the language they use, but it's on Amazon Prime right now as one of the top African-American movies about struggle to watch. I don't remember the language they use, right,
Angela? Like the Black struggle, and it's, yeah, I think it's, I will have to get what exactly it says, but yes, Tracy's right. It's up there, and it's, I mean, it's humbling because it's next to documentary films like 13 and I'm Not Your Negro and things like that. And so that's really, I mean, and in fact, it sits right next to a documentary about the Obamas. And so, but that little documentary is up there with documentaries that have been nominated or that won Academy Awards because of the content in there. That just lets me know that.
Well, yours is award-winning too.
Definitely. So, it's very impressive. It's just getting the information out there. That's one of the things we have to do, is get a lot more information out there. Erwin, how are we getting this information out there about how serious and the threat of COVID-19? Even just mentioning what you did about the gloves, people just say, you know, you wear these gloves, that's it. That's the first time I've heard it broken down, explained the way that you did. How are we getting this information out there?
Well, I mean, I don't know how things are where you are, but here in New
California.
Jersey, yeah, what part of California, by the way?
Long Beach.
I have a place out in Palm Springs.
Oh, okay. I'm actually closer to you, Erwin, then. I'm in Fontana, so.
Fontana where, New Jersey?
No, Fontana, California. You need to come back out to Southern California more.
Yeah, but anyways, no, around here in Jersey, you know, a lot of stores have been putting up signs and you know, no mask, no service, stuff like that. Some people are very testy about that. You want to know something? I mean, I know a lot of people have said we're sick of hearing that we're all in this together, but the truth is, we're all in this together.
I'm not sick of hearing that, Erwin. Like, honestly, I'm not sick of hearing that. But I wish people would say that a million times all day. I may have to record it and just play it on repeat. Like that. I think that's the one thing, aside from race issues and COVID-19, that people don't understand. One way or another, we are all in this together.
Yes. And the thing is that, you know, you go around in different places and, yeah, if people are 30, 40, 50 feet away from you, I don't care if they're wearing a mask or not. All right. But, you know, in the supermarket, people who walk in without a mask, even though there's like 14 signs before you get inside, and you're like, you know, I'm not having my rights trampled on. I'm not going to be told what to do. I'm like, buddy, it's not about that. It's not about that. All right. Well, they've taken away our ability to go pray in our houses of worship. No. The problem is when you have people congregated in a tight space, and this is essentially airborne at this point, because every time people with it who are asymptomatic exhale, they exhale virus infected microbes. Okay. And anybody, I mean, when you sneeze, when you cough, there are micro spray, micro droplets that are so small and so light, they can literally hang out in the air for anywhere from 10 minutes to a half an hour. And if you happen to walk through what they coughed out or sneezed out and you happen to inhale, yes, you can catch it. And, you know, unless you're going to be fortunate enough to be asymptomatic, you're going to have some side effects from it. You're going to have some indicators, whether it's the dry cough, whether it's the headaches, whether it's the loss of taste, or whether it's just absolutely feeling you're like you're going to die. Okay. And I just,
okay,
it's so hard to get people to understand sometimes because it has been so politicized. Mm-hmm. And the only thing you can do is try to be nice to people and try to explain to them, you know, hey, look, I'm not asking you to put that mask on because I'm trying to get you to do something you don't want to do. I'm not asking you to not pray. I'm just asking you, you know what? Don't put yourself in jeopardy. Don't put the person next to you in jeopardy. And that's really what it's all about, is putting the person next to you in jeopardy. You know, if you're sick, if you've got the flu, if you've got whatever, okay, and you're smart about it, you want to get through it and past it as fast as possible. It means you want to go to the doctor, you want to seek out recommended treatment, you want to try and get yourself better, okay? Because there are lots of infections out there you can die from. It just doesn't have to be COVID, mm-hmm. All right? And depending on what other underlying health conditions you have, like my age, my former heart disease, my type 2 diabetes, I mean, some people have a lot more problems than that, mm-hmm. Okay? But the thing is, people have to understand that it's not all about you. It's about all of us. And the problem is, if you're asymptomatic, or if some of your friends that you're out with are asymptomatic, and you come near me, you know, I'm waiting in line to get, you know, pick up some food or what have you, or pick up something at a store or at the gas station, and you guys walk by and you're all jibber jabbering and sneezing or coughing or whatever, all right, I might catch whatever you've got, especially if it's COVID, all right, and then if I'm thinking like you are that, you know, I don't need a mask, this is all a bunch of malarkey, it's all overblown, which it isn't, all right, how do you know that I'm not going to be the person who asymptomatically or not infects another person who happens to know your grandmother? Mm-hmm. And then that person gives it to their child, let's say, who's your friend, who wasn't in the group with you, all right? And that person, that child, that teenager, whatever, goes to visit their grandparent, gives it to them, and they die from it. Or get exactly. So severely sick that maybe...
I would feel, yeah. You
know. Are you assuming that everyone's not wearing masks in these examples, though?
There's a lot of people that aren't wearing masks. I don't know whereabouts you're geographically located, Jared.
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. So, yeah, I mean, we have mask mandates going on right now here. But
right, and there are, you know, granted...
Are you wearing a mask inside at grocery stores and places? I mean, so... Okay, so if you're wearing a mask, then how do you get it?
Well, first of all, it just really reduces the opportunity. It doesn't negate it.
All right.
Okay. So if you're wearing a surgical mask, okay, unlike the KN95s, which more or less seal around your face,
yeah.
Okay. But if you're just wearing a surgical mask, a lot of the air that you breathe, yes, it comes through the mask, which is good, but some of it gets in the sides or in by the nose area because it is not forming a seal.
Right.
Okay. And I think that, you know, they've pretty much proven that bandanas are next to useless, okay?
They are completely useless, yeah, because they don't actually seal.
Yeah. And the thing is, a gentleman I know via Facebook, who I do have a lot of respect for, he's been trying, he's of a different political thought process than I am, and he's been sending me stuff about, you know, oh, well, look at this letter from CDC, it says the COVID, that the N95s are useless, and actually the original N95s are not the right mask to wear because they have a little like a port on them for when you exhale. Now that flaw for the use against COVID-19 also exists with more expensive respirator masks with the filters on them.
Yeah.
Okay, because when you exhale out of those types of masks, it's not filtering what you're exhaling. It's only filtering what you're inhaling. So unless you're wearing a mask that covers this part of your face relatively well, okay, whether it's a surgical mask, and I saw something interesting the other day. A lot of people, when they put on these surgical masks with like the rubber band things that go around your ears, as they're putting them on, they flip the rubber band things so that the point of the band up here and down here crisscross as they go backwards and pull the bottom of the mask up tighter against the bottom of your face and the upper part of the mask down tighter against the top of your face, which is actually a very good idea. But the whole point is to minimize. You're not, unless you wear a sealed rebreather contained unit, okay? So that
just to minimize, you
know, or minimize it. Is filtered
through right? The mask.
It's, you know, we're just trying to get the numbers down as low as possible by acting as intelligently and responsibly as we can.
Okay, but the numbers are down as low as possible.
Well, let me just say, I heard that, Jared, but one of the things that happened here, I hear you, Jared, but one of the things that just happened here yesterday, July 13th, is Governor Newsom shut California right back down. So, yeah,
but the numbers are actually below where we need them to be. And in fact, the pandemic itself is going to lose its pandemic status here in a couple of days because the daily death rate, which is what a pandemic is measured by, is now down to less than 200 to 300 a day. And people are not dying from this very fast at all like they used to. We used to see quite a few more thousand people dying per day. Now we're only down to like 200 to 300 nationwide. So if that number keeps on falling, the death rate is gonna dictate whether this is even a pandemic at all. And so once that number starts to get into the hundreds, there it's going to lose its pandemic status. And once that is gone, it's now no longer a pandemic. And that is what is actually happening right now. And we do see infection rates going up, but there is a reason why we are seeing that, and mainly because people that have been holding off on elective surgeries and other things because the hospitals were pretty much well shut down. People that are going back in, all of them have to be COVID screened on the way in. So as they go in to get COVID screened, if they come up positive, a lot of them are asymptomatic and they didn't even know they had it. Or, you know, so now these new numbers are coming out. A lot of the numbers are a couple weeks behind because of the testing, the rate of testing so high right now. So it's actually delaying the results in which the tests are actually coming out. So a lot of the numbers you see today are actually representative of things that happened 2 and 3 weeks ago. So they're not actually, it's not actually up to date. If I were in Irwin's position, I would take a lot of precautions because he's in a high risk category. And I'm not trying to minimize Irwin's concern at all. I think that a guy like him should do everything he can to protect himself from being infected because it could very well be a death sentence for him. As for me, I actually found out I tested positive the last time I was on the Sharifa show, and I'm fine. Nothing happened. I had no cough, no fever, no headaches, no nothing. And I actually tested the Sunday before.
Hey,
that.
Stop. Rewind, go back, go yes. back.
I tested positive on the 28th of June, and I basically...
Okay, wait, I need to hear. So you tested positive for COVID-19?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm kind of slow sometimes. Like, I'm like, you giving me too much information at once. You, on the day you were on the show, you tested positive for COVID-19?
That's right.
That's why you've been doing... I'm like...
Clean your screen.
I'm like, speechless.
Yeah, and so I've been around my wife and kids without masks on. And in fact, my neighbors all tested positive, and next door neighbors, all but one of their family members all tested positive, no symptoms whatsoever, nothing. And my wife and kids got all tested same day. They did not test positive, tested negative. And so I was the only one that tested positive. As far as I'm concerned, I've had far worse hangovers in Las Vegas compared to this at all. And in fact, I think I wanted to take a nap once. That was it. So I took
a nap. But Jerry, you take it as like, it's no big deal. And I don't want to interpret what you're saying, but you're just like hangovers in Vegas were worse. And I'm over here spellbound.
Because that's what it, to me, you know, my personal first person perspective of actually having COVID-19, that's what it is.
Okay, but how is that possible that your family doesn't have it? Like, how is it possible for nobody to wear a mask and they don't catch it from you? How is that even possible?
See, I don't know that. And so all I know is that, you know, I play with my kids, I'm close with my kids, and it could be by now they've had it, but see, they've also shown no symptoms whatsoever if they do. And yeah, you'd think that the incubation period is long past. It's been over 2 weeks. So, you know, real life, real me, I have COVID-19 and I'm already well over it. One of the things that I was doing though, and I will tell you this, and there is some articles that came out about this, I always have been taking Pepcid AC. Love it. It's a wonderful product. I usually have really bad heartburn. And so for years now, I've been taking like a single pill of Pepcid AC, sometimes not every day. But the article is stating how famotidine actually has shown to be very effective at blocking the ability of COVID-19 from reproducing itself in your body. And I'm kind of wondering if, because I've had this drug in my system for a very long time, that when I finally caught it somewhere, who knows where, like Irwin said, could have been in a grocery store, could have been touching a gas pump handle, who knows, that it really didn't have any effect on me, you know, because of the fact that the drug itself blocked all of the, you know, viral receptors, you know, those little arms that are out sticking out on Irwin's back screen. If the famotidine actually, because famotidine itself is, that's what it does. It actually goes in your body and it stops acid reducing the system that produces acid in your stomach. It actually goes in and blocks those things. It could very well block the same receptors on COVID-19 by accident, causing the virus to absolutely have no effect on you whatsoever. And so I asked my doctor, who is a Vanderbilt University Medical Center doctor, just comes from a huge long line of doctors. I asked him about it and he said, yeah, he goes, take famotidine twice a day now. He goes, you'll be fine in 10 days, you're out. And so since we were last, I was famous on the Ask Sharifa show, you know, the and I've been signing autographs everywhere, by the way. I have been fine. And so the state of Tennessee call me every day, like, are you okay? You alive? You good? I'm like, yeah, fine. So that happened for like 10 days. And then they were like, all right, you're free to go after 10 days. And so I'm out and I have no mask on. And now that I have actually overcome COVID-19, I actually have the antibody. I actually have a viral immunity to it naturally. So, and I talked to my doctor about that too. And he goes, you don't need a shot. You don't need to get an immune shot because you've already become immune to it. You've beaten it. And then now you have. And so I need to go give blood plasma now because I have the cure for COVID-19. That's, you know, so again, I will be taking autographs in the back of the room after the show.
You know what, Jared? You about to make me go over on this 1 hour show.
Let me just
I have a song about COVID-19.
1 second. I just want to say something about what Jared just said. And it's one of the points that's being made on a lot of the news lately, which is, you know what? We're starting to see that we don't really know a lot about this particular infection and that, you know, how can it be that so many people can be walking around with it and they don't know they have it, all right? Or they're being asymptomatic. There may be something to what you said about the medication with the receptors, and that may be true. We're learning which drugs that we already have might have benefits.
Yeah.
Okay? That hydroxychloroquine is definitely not one of them. But
no, there's a new study that showed that it actually reduced deaths by over 40%. That was just released a week ago.
Yeah, but who did the study?
It was done by Johns Hopkins. So it came out late. So, yeah.
Well, that just goes to show you, it's taking us a little bit of time
to
find out what will and won't work. However, there are also conflicting studies, but I'm not here to argue.
There are so many different stories, so many different studies. There's so much that we're learning on a daily basis.
And Sharifa, I don't know if you guys heard, but Bolu had tried to, you know, mention in there with her little voice that she actually has a song about COVID-19 that she wrote just before the Black Lives Matter song too.
So yes, what I do is I love to have my guests return often because this conversation just got so much more interesting at 8:59. So yes. Bolu, I did hear you, my darling, my dear. Come back through Tracy. We'll get you back. And then please have your guitar with you. And then you can sing your COVID-19 song Erwin, I hate to have cut you off. That's why we have to get this information out there and takes time. Look at Dr. Angela. This isn't a story that just happened last year or last night. She's been trying to get this story out for some time. Now it is 8:59, people. Please work with me. We have 1 minute left in the show. But what I have to do, I can't end any show without doing this, is just simply allowing my guests a brief moment to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who's listening live, as well as everyone who's listening in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. So briefly, Bolu, what do you want the people to know?
I just want to spread positivity, just try our best as individuals to make it right and just do the right thing and then do as much as we can and just love each other and help each other. That's my message.
I think that says it all. Erwin?
Basically, being in the public infection control business, I just want to urge everybody to not let politics dictate what you think about this pandemic, whether it remains a pandemic for another week or so or not, who knows. Listen to your doctors, okay? If you're in the Northeast area and you need public infection control service, you can absolutely look my company up at sterilespace.com or thegermpolice.com.
There you go.
Ooh, I love it. I saw you reach for something. I'm like, what is he doing over there? Is that a book or something? I love it. The Germ Police. Can I have one? Send me one, because I want to walk around grocery stores and flash it. Never mind. I get in trouble. Tracy?
What it came to be was, this was my original logo. Let's see. You can barely see it. But
yeah.
And I used to walk into child care centers, and children would walk up to me and go, are you a policeman? And I'd be like, no, I'm just here to see if you have germs here. Oh, so you're the Germ Police.
Aww.
And for 5 years, I said, you know what? I better grab that name before somebody else does.
The Germ Police. I love it. I love it. Tracy,
anyway,
what do you have for
us? Stay healthy, everybody. You know, just remember, we're not through this thing yet, okay? And we don't know enough about it yet to say, oh, it's going to be over in a few weeks. I fear for all of us, especially during the coming flu season, because if you do have underlying complications and you get the flu, which in and of itself, if things go south, could kill you. That and COVID, it's really not going to be a good situation for you. So do everything you can to stay healthy.
Thank you for that message. Tracy?
Yeah, well, again, Lamori Media, we're here to elevate interesting, passionate, important voices. I take on limited projects now, only really interesting ones that really need to get out there. You see some examples of the two voices that I like to elevate here. So that's what I do. And I want to say, anybody listening out there from an empowerment perspective, I want you to know that, you know, you're awesome. You should not be shy to let the world know about it. And if you need any media or attention, don't be afraid to go out there and get it. If you need some advice, you know, inbox me. Maybe we can work together. But again, I take on a limited number of clients right now. I have too many amazing projects going on, but you need to elevate your voice, get yourself out there, not be shy, elevate yourself as an expert, and you'd be amazed what can happen. As Bolu is showing us, just by raising your voice, sometime even at just 13 years old, people will listen. The world will listen if you have faith in your own message. So
that's right. That's right. Dr. Angela.
Wow. Well, I think the message that I definitely want to people to know is that Rosa Parks, she spent her entire life trying to teach young people to about racism, about human rights, and about activism. And her philosophy is as true today as it was in 1955. So I guess what my question is what are we going to do to help that next generation so that we don't have a 2020 civil unrest like we had a few months ago? What can we do to save that? And one way is by educating our children.
Yes, and I believe another way is just starting the conversation. Yes. And that's what a lot of people have been doing. And I'm so happy about that. I'm speaking on another panel on race July 24th. Wonderful to have these conversations. So thank you for everything you're doing, Dr. Angela. We'll have you back. Hope you decide to return. Jared, what do you have for us?
Oh, baby, you got COVID-19, but you say he's just a friend. That's what I have to say about that. And that's my COVID-19. So, yeah. If you have
Jared, you are that one friend you can't take to the party. Like, you, I need people I can control. Like, say something polite, say something nice. You know what I mean? Like, you, I can't put you on speaker. You know what I mean? And you, like, we get to the door, and I have to give you that talk. You're that friend. It's like, don't embarrass me. Like, don't embarrass me. Like, that's how I feel. I'm not ever having you back. Go ahead, Jared.
If you have troubles with your debt collectors, give us a call at soothecollector.com. We'll help it fix it. My wife is getting sued, getting a suit going right now. She's getting another one going. She had a debt collector. We already sued them once. We're suing them again. Another $1,000. It's all going to go to Joanne's Fabrics.
Get the money, Jared. I want to thank you. You know what? I want to thank you all for just being here with me today. You made my morning. Thank you, Bolu. I also want to thank you. I want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live. I definitely appreciate your support, your comments. Please share the show, but don't just watch the show and share the show. Please support our guests. Go ahead and pick up Dr. Angela's book. Go talk to Erwin. Listen to Bolu. Get some great advice from Jared. And Tracy can definitely help you when she opens up her list for new clients, because she's currently being very selective right now, which I applaud. But just contact our guests. The information is in the post on Facebook. Please visit their websites. And don't just go to their websites. Follow them on social media. And when you send them that first message, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Thank you, Sharifa. Bye.